I think it's good to have surprises. I was so tempted to want to call some of these family members and share with them, but I said, no, let's just wait until this Sabbath so they can celebrate with their mothers this special occasion. Your church family has seen Jesus in you, and thank you for doing and reflecting that, mothers, here today. I want to invite you, as you would turn with me in your Bibles, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And I want to say that as a young boy and a young man, I took my mom for granted. I didn't say thank you to my mom as often as I should have. And it took some years until finally I realized how precious and wonderful my mother was. And so today on Mother's Day weekend, I want to remind us that we have a mother that is so precious and influential and valuable. Thank God for mothers of faith. And as we're turning our Bibles here to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, I've asked Holly Burlew, one of our mothers, in fact, one of our younger attending mothers in our church family, to read this great scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5.
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Now these are the words that the Apostle Paul penned as he was in prison. And his prison cell was really about the size of your bedroom, maybe smaller. I've been there, the Maritime Prison in Rome, Italy. And he wrote these words just before he died. And he wanted to speak in regards to Timothy. He wanted to give Timothy, young Pastor Timothy, some encouragement of bolstering his faith to continue to minister in his church, and to illustrate the need to stay close to Jesus and to continue to serve the Lord. He reminds him of his godly mother. And Paul knew of the powerful influence that Timothy's mother and grandmother had on Timothy. In fact, Timothy would not have been a believer in Jesus Christ if it had not been for his mother. His father was not a believer. We read in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, that Timothy's father was a Greek, which really means, in that context, that he was not a believer. And so Timothy's mother had a powerful influence in his life. And here is the example of the truth of 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and verse 14, where the faith of one parent sanctified the child. Timothy's family of faith had a dominant influence on his life. And so as the Apostle Paul is there in prison and he wants to encourage Timothy, he remembers this faith. And so in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 and 15, as you would turn with me there to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verses 14 and 15, listen as Mary reads this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15.
But you remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you learned it, and that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus.
Now many of us are familiar with that great hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. We could actually take the word father out and put mother in its place, and we could sing that hymn today. Today we want to remember the faith of our mothers. I came across a poem that H.M.S. Richards wrote. He was the voice of prophecy speaker, as you remember. And this is what he wrote in this poem. Faith of our mothers living still, in spite of all our straying far. Unbroken love by night and day, for that's the way that mothers are. Faith of our mothers like a star, shining through all the years the same. Oh, how our hearts beat with joy wherever we hear that lovely name. Our mothers chained to homely task, we're still in heart and spirit free. How sweet would be their children's lot if they, like them, could live for thee. Faith of our mothers, burning bright, unfailing lamp for those who roam, bring us at last, O Lord, to thee. Guide all the wandering children home. It's a great poem, isn't it? During this Mother's Day weekend, my plea is that mothers in this 21st century would keep up the good practice of Timothy's mother. Let us continue the noble practice of Bible reading and Bible teaching and be a praying mother before our children and for our own lives personally between ourselves and God, to be a mother of faith. You are familiar in Scripture, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, of that great cloud of witnesses. It's a cloud of witnesses of the people of faith of the past and yet even the present. And certainly I would believe that that great cloud of witnesses include mothers of faith. Wouldn't you agree? Mothers of faith are that great cloud of witnesses. I wonder, is your mother in that cloud of witnesses? Is my mother there? Are you as a mother in that cloud of witnesses? A mother's influence is first and strongest of all. Now that's an awesome thought. Mother, you have a greater influence on your child, and you have had a greater influence on your child than church and the pastor preaching the Word of God. Greater influence. And as valuable and precious as a church Christian education is, you have a more powerful influence on your children than even a Christian education. Praise God for a mother's influence. An unbeliever may argue against the Word of God. And you've been in the presence of those who do not know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll argue with you. They'll give you all the reasons why they don't want to believe in God. And they may laugh, but deep down in their hearts, that young man, that young boy, that young girl comes from a home, very possibly, of a mother of faith. And they remember that mother of faith. That mother believed in God. And if that child was honest with you, they will say, I am struggling right now, but my mother believes. Could it be that it's true? Could it be that it's true? A mother who really lives the Word of God. There's no power on earth that can take it away, even though that son, even though that daughter may question it right now. That mother's faith will hold on, and we pray will touch the heart, be used of the Spirit to touch the heart of that young person that is still wandering. One Christian leader once said that it would trouble him a lot if under great trial his mother's faith were to break down. More than 10 of his smartest men that would come up to him and say, we have examined the evidence of the Scriptures and we find nothing about Christianity that we want to trust in. If a mother's faith was to end, that would have a greater influence on that man than 10 of his best friends who said otherwise. A mother's faith is no theory. It is a fact. And children, watch mom. You are in a fishbowl more than you realize. You're on candid camera. And when one knows from their own experience that the faith of their mom has kept her through those temptations and trials of a lifetime, they know something that is very real. When a child knows that their mother's faith was the secret, the reason why she was such a sweet, noble, beautiful woman that she was. Friends, that cannot be easily said, that that influence will have no effect upon a child. It does. It does. And even again, if they don't show it, if they don't trust in the Lord right now, God can still hold in the heart of that child that memory of that mother's faith, that it can bring that child back to the Lord. Mothers here today, and those of you that will be listening to this message in the future, can you see how much depends upon you? You are being watched by your children. And as you're turning with me now to Proverbs chapter 31, I want to share with you the story about a Christian educator who remembers that he was just one of five children in a family. He was 4 years old at the time, and he could see his mother did not take time alone with God. She didn't have the time. She was so busy taking care of five children. She had servants to instruct. She had other people who worked for her. She didn't seem to take any time alone with God. On the surface, this young man, 4 years old, noticed this. But he also noticed something else. He noticed that there was a depression in the pillow and the bed, and the servants had already made the bed. every day he noticed that that was the case. And he wondered about that, and he watched his mother. When the older children had gone to school, things were very quiet in the home, finally. And so she would go into the room, and she would kneel there at the bedside. That's why the depression in the bed covers and all. And he said that no other religious impression of his childhood could compare with that. To see that my mom was taking time alone with God, and from it, as he saw, my mother prayed and sought God's help. There must be a God. It did something for my mom. There must be value in prayer. It did something for my mom. He connected that time that his mother took after the school kids were gone to the power and the strength and the faith in his mother. How powerful, how mighty, how influential a mother's faith is. Really, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. That's what the Bible says. And I want you to notice with me Proverbs, that great chapter, and verses 10 through 12. And I've asked Ruth Ann to read this. Ruth Ann is a mother with a child who has served in the military. Listen as Ruth Ann reads this passage, verses 10 through 12.
It is hard to find a good wife because she is worth more than rubies. Her husband trusts her completely. With her, he has everything he needs. She does him good and not harm for as long as she lives.
The whole chapter is so powerful. But I do want us to take a look at two other verses in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 and 30. And I've asked Dave Robinson to read it for his mother, Nita Robinson. And as you know, Nita is one of our mothers of the year. But she's also the oldest mother who is attending our church family, 91 years old. Praise God. David, would you read that? Verses 28 and 30.
Her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And this one, in the middle of that, I want to dedicate to my mom. Many women do noble things, but you, mother, surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Amen. Amen. Today we praise these wonderful mothers of faith. Harriet Beecher Stowe, I know that many of us here are acquainted with some of her writings, love her ability to write. She speaks of that unforgettable impression that her mother's spiritual life had on her, Harriet Beecher Stowe. She noticed that mother had a certain room, and in this room there was a table, and the Bible was always open in this room. And she remembers when the finances were tight. Anybody can relate to this? When sickness threatened, when there were problems that were just so like a broken piece of string, so many different pieces. It just seemed like it was insurmountable. And she watched her mother during those times. Can you relate to those pressure times in your life too, in your home? What did Harriet Beecher Stowe's mother do? She watched her. And it was on those days that she would see her mother go alone into that room and kneel over that Bible and pray. More things are caught than are taught. Then there was that unique story that I've just heard about from a man by the name of P.W. Philpott and his mother. When he was a young boy, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He said yes to Jesus. Now imagine, here you are, you've given your life to Christ, and your whole family, including your mother, is an unbeliever. And you come to the breakfast table, and you're thinking, my, I want to say grace. I want to give thanks to my God, and I'm just beginning to know. And he gets the courage up to say to his brother, don't eat yet, we're going to have grace. And he could look at the faces around the table, looking at him, wondering what is wrong with him, what happened to him. And he was just really feeling a little bit embarrassed. He felt like maybe I need to leave the table or something. When his mother got up from the table, went to him, put her hand over his shoulder, and made this statement, don't leave now, son. I want you to do something for me. And she left the room and she came back. And she had in her hand a large brass-bound book. It was the Bible. Now, he didn't know anything about the Bible. He had come to know Jesus, but he hardly knew anything about the Bible at all. And she opened the Bible, and she laid it by the plate, and she said this, "I want you to read to us every morning, and you have the family prayer." Wow, what a challenge. He read what was there, Romans chapter 10. And as he was reading Romans chapter 10, and he was saying, "Oh, I was wishing this is much longer chapter because I don't know what to say in prayer. It's so new to me." And he was hoping it would go longer and longer, but ultimately he was finished with Romans chapter 10, and everybody got down and they knelt and they prayed. It became a spiritual practice. Day after day, he honored his mother's request, and he read the Bible, and he prayed the family prayer each day. Praise the Lord that one day his mother said, "I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And she led the family prayer that day. And soon after that, she died. And that young boy, now a grown adult, looks back and he knows that he and his mother are going to be there when Jesus comes again. He's longing for the day when he'll be reunited. What an awesome story. The faith of a mother is contagious. It's powerful. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Mother's here today. Grandmother's here today. We don't want to leave you out. Are you encouraging your children? Are you encouraging your grandchildren to read God's Word and to pray? As they form that habit in their early years, it will have a profound influence on their lives to lead them to the Christ that it speaks of. And even if they don't, you can continue to pray as only a mother knows how to pray. Amen? Pray for your children. And you can claim promises. And one of those promises for their salvation is right here. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 16 and 17. Powerful promise. And I've asked Jeannie Hassel to read this. And Jeannie is the mother of the oldest living mother in our church family. Praise the Lord for Irene Gilroy, 100 years old. And Jeannie, would you read that passage for us? Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17.
"Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border."
Isn't that an awesome promise? Hold on to that promise. Write that down. Put it on your refrigerator. Claim it daily. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Possibly reading the Bible to your children or your grandchildren is not something that you've done, but you can begin today. Possibly praying before them, praying with them is not something that you've done regularly, but you can begin today. Mothers here today, I want to share with you the secret of a happy home. It's right here, Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and verses 5 through 7. And I've asked Judy Davis if she would read that passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Judy is the mother in our church family whose mother lives with her. Let's listen as Judy reads.
"So love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Remember these commands of the Lord as long as you live. Keep them because you love your God. Teach your children to love the Lord by obeying him. Talk to them about him whether you're at home or traveling with them in the morning and in the evening."
Good counsel from the Word of God. You know, it's not easy being a mother these days, is it? It's a hard job, in fact. A very hard job. And often so unappreciated. Thank God for Mother's Day, for us to remember that we need to appreciate the gift that God has given to us and our mothers. In fact, I would like to suggest that motherhood and Christian education have a few things in common. And one of the things is that both of them take sacrifice. But oh, what an investment for eternity. Amen? Oh, what an investment for eternity. And no true mother of faith will ever say that it's not worth it. Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude, so Jude chapter 1, I want you to turn there with me. You turn to the book of Revelation and go back one book, you're at Jude chapter 1. Now I read in the Bible that Hannah the mother of the prophet Samuel, dedicated Samuel to God, and when he was a child, took him to the sanctuary and dedicated him to the Lord where he was to live. And every year, the Bible tells us that she brought him a little coat. Now, that really caught home to me. Every year, brought him a coat, and she sewed it with her own fingers of love for her son, Samuel. And I want you to think about this, mothers here today. All mothers are making, as it were, little coats of character for their children. And whether they know it or not, a mother's faith influences their children day after day after day after day. And I ask you today, what sort of coat are you as a mother, what sort of coat are you as a grandmother weaving for Tom? What sort of coat are you weaving for Mary? I think it all depends. It all depends upon what sort of faith a mother has. Notice now, Jude chapter 1, and we've asked Marilyn King to read this, one of our mothers of the year. Jude chapter 1, verse 3.
Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints.
Amen. Mothers, do you have the faith which was once delivered to the saints? That's the kind of faith that Paul is talking to us here about. Jude here is speaking to us to have. That's the kind of faith that rubs off on our children. And from this time until the Lord comes, it is the kind of faith that will bring them back to faith in Jesus Christ. Have you heard the parable of the mother's apron strings? I want to read that parable to you as we close our message today. There was once a little boy who was just learning to walk. And so his mother tied her apron strings around him, right around his waist, in fact, to hold him steady. Now, she said, hold on to that and you won't fall. Well, he did as he was told, and everything went well. And the mother sang as she worked. The child grew day by day until finally he was tall enough to look out the window. He could just see over the top of the windowsill. He could see the trees and the green meadows and the purple mountains piled against the sky in the distance. He said, Mother, untie your apron string and let me go. Oh, not yet, she said. You stumbled only yesterday and would have fallen down, but for it. Wait until you are bigger, son. The child obeyed, and everything went well, and the mother sang as she went about her work. Day by day, the child kept growing stronger and stronger and taller, more and more. He left his playthings on the floor and stood looking out the window. One morning, when the door was open, he stood at the threshold and he looked out at the world again. He saw the green meadows, the bright flowers, the trees which seemed to beckon with their branches, and the great river whose voice called, come, come, come away. He started so suddenly that the apron string snapped, and he ran away down the steps across the meadow with its end dangling behind him. And he said, oh, he laughed. I never knew my mother's apron strings were so weak. The mother gathered the broken end of her apron string and hid it in her bosom. She turned again to her work, but she didn't sing this time. The boy ran on and on over the meadows to the river, then along the riverbank, towards the purple mountains, piled against the sky. Sometimes the path was smooth, sometimes it was rough and steep. There were places where he had to climb up on his hands and knees. Suddenly, he came around a turn in the path, just where the river plunged over a great precipice. The stones were wet and slippery. A mist closed down around him, and he made a misstep. Just as he started to slip over the brink of the abyss, something caught upon a rock and held him dangling over the ledge. He put his hand back to find out what it was, and it was the broken apron string tied to his waist. Oh, he said, I never knew how strong my mother's apron string was. And he pulled himself up by it, set his feet again upon the rock, and went on towards the purple mountains that were piled against the sky. Great story. I want to invite you to bow your heads in an attitude of prayer. Of course, this story is a parable, but those apron strings represent a mother's faith in God. And I wonder if there is anyone here today who sometimes feels the apron strings of your mother's Christian life pulling you. Do you feel your mother's faith still calling you, still holding you? Have there been times in your life when you were just about to slip over the brink, but mother's faith pulled you back? Won't you respond to the tug of her faithful teaching and example? Won't you come back to God now? Back to church fellowship, back to right living, back to the Bible, back to the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, back to Jesus Christ, back to the faith of your mother. Oh, precious Father in heaven, today we have been reminded of the faith of our mothers and grandmothers, and your Holy Spirit even now is drawing us back to that faith. And your Son, Jesus Christ, really is the answer. And our mother's faith would often remind us of that foundation truth. And so, Father, as our mothers or our grandmothers open your word and talk with you in prayer, we want to rededicate our trust in you today to live for you. And as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I would ask you today, how many will join me in raising our hand to heaven to tell God that we want to renew our trust in Him? If that is your decision, then you raise your hand with me right now. Praise God. God sees your hand and your heart, your desire. But Father, as I conclude this prayer today, let me say that there are many mothers and fathers here today whose children have wandered from you. And together we continue to trust in you and to live our lives to represent you before our wonderful children and wondering children. We would ask you, Father, that you would continue to use our faith in you, or whatever you would choose, to bring our children back to you. And in the meantime, we will continue to claim your promises, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. We follow in the steps of our mothers of faith, Father. We affirm our faith in you and our hope of salvation for our unsaved loved ones. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.